Radio app.
Back to Matt from Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't mean to scare everybody, but the call is coming from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house. What do I mean? If the Republicans win in November, and I'm more and more beginning to believe they will not win the House in November or the Senate. Why do I say that? Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true that the party that holds the White House, usually in the certainly in the first off year election and frequently in the second off year election of an 8-year term, frequently loses seats in the House because people instinctively want balanced government, however, with checks and balances. But this year, with the relentless attack on our democracy by the Republicans, the January 6 hearings, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the obvious drift towards fascism in the Republican Party, this will not be a referendum on Biden and the Democratic Party. This will be a referendum on the growing fascism in the Republican Party, in my view. So I think we have a very good chance of holding the House and the Senate. However, there are increasing signs that if the Republicans win the House in November, we're going to drift even further towards fascism in this respect. First of all, believe it or not, who do you think will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee if the Republicans take the House? Who do you think will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee? You think it'd be Adam Schiff or somebody? Are you kidding me? He's a Democrat. No. It will be Jim Jordan. Gymnasium Jim, G-Y-N, Jordan. Scandalous, bad person. He will be the chair of the Judiciary Committee. He has already indicated that he will subpoena for a hearing Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, others like Schiff, and that he will start impeachment proceedings, I'm not kidding, against Joe Biden. In revenge, as a preliminary matter, the Republicans, under his guidance and Kevin McCarthy's, have already told the committee, the January 6th commission, to preserve all its records. It was not to destroy them. Well, January 6th committee is not going to destroy records, but there are hundreds of thousands of pages of testimony. There are a lot of records. What this is, and it's known in civil litigation and in criminal, but especially civil litigation, as a notice to preserve records, is if you destroy records after you do that, the judge will not only won't he be happy or she, but they may say, well, that's presumptive that they would have been bad for you, and we're going to proceed accordingly. So why does the January 6th commission have to preserve records? I think they would have anyway, but now they have to preserve every scrap of paper subject to legal liability, because those records will be used if and when the Republicans take over the House. And how will they be used? They will be used to do an investigation, just like they did with Benghazi. Remember that? They just went on and on about Benghazi. Well, what they'll do now is they'll do something similar. They will investigate Hunter Biden. They will investigate, they'll investigate Zelensky of Ukraine, our allies. They will investigate Liz Cheney. Really? They're going to investigate Liz Cheney for being the vice chair of this commission? They will investigate Adam Kinzinger? Really, for what? Liz Cheney is Joan of Arc, a magnificent historical figure already. Adam Kinzinger is a magnificent historical figure. He will go down in history for voting his conscience and doing his conscience. And they're going to investigate them for what? integrity. They don't like integrity. There's none in the Republican Party. Most of them checked their manhood in a luggage locker at the Greyhound bus station and left them there and squeak up to Trump. So they're going to investigate Adam Kinzinger for not doing that, and they're going to investigate Liz Cheney for being Joan of Arc. I don't know if you about know Joan of Arc, but in the 1400s in France, the British, the English had occupied the Hundred Years' War, and they'd occupied a big chunk of France. Joan of Arc was a peasant girl, illiterate. Of course, in those days, women didn't have anything to do with statesmanship or the military, and she was very low class, and she was illiterate. But she was so strong and so brave, so fearless, that she was speaking to the equivalent of the Prince of Wales in France, the Dauphin. He's the guy who's going to take over the king as king when the king dies. And he looked at her and he said, "Why should we follow you into battle?" He said, "You're a peasant, you're a girl, and you can't read or write." And you know what she said? She said, "I can fight." That's what she said. Well, Liz Cheney's the same way. And the clown Jim Jordan, the clown, the assistant wrestling coach, who turned a blind eye to abuse, to sexual abuse. He didn't do it himself, but he turned a blind eye to others who didn't report them. This clown will be the head of the Judiciary Committee? But really? Oh, he will he? And then he thinks he's going to investigate Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And they have started the groundwork to impeach Joe Biden. For what? For what? For restoring NATO? Standing up to Ukraine, putting the Ruskies on the run, instead of inviting them to the White House with no Americans present, instead of like Trump sitting in Helsinki and trashing his own CIA and FBI and sucking up to Putin. Why did Trump suck up to Putin? Because he'd been funded by the Ruskies, funded by the oligarchs, and then by Putin for 20 years longer. Putin came into power about 20 years ago, but even before that, he was being subsidized, vested in by the commie Ruskies. That's what was happening. And the clown is a Russian agent. The clown Trump is a Russian agent. The Republican Party is the party of sedition. There are some exceptions. Liz Cheney's an exception. Adam Kinzinger's an exception. Now, Moscow Mitch, trying to wiggle out of that label, took a delegation of Republicans to Kyiv to meet with Zelensky. So I appreciate that. But by and large, look at the clowns they have. Tucker Carlson. They have Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz. They have crooked Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, who said he admires Putin. He said that in February. Trump said Putin's a genius. This is after he invaded. Putin's a genius after he invaded Ukraine. He got all that land for $2 in sanctions. Trump is a Russian sympathizer. He will destroy NATO. He threatened to take us out of NATO. Biden shored up NATO. He shored up the EU, the European Union, our allies. He's put a mini NATO together in the Pacific to contain the Chinese, the CHICOMs. And who are they? South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, Vietnam. I mean, even Malaysia, for Pete's sake. People are afraid of China over there. Biden, tremendous foreign policy experience, put them all together. Put them all together. Going to the lines. Dick Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, that's kind of funny for Jordan, because what is he going to do, retract about 70% of it? It's all testimony from Republicans. But I got a question for you, Max. Since the I got a bad echo here, but anyway, since the campaign strategy or slogan for Trump is now run for the White House to avoid the big house, seriously, that's about what it is. Why does he think that gives him a get out of jail free card just because he's running for president?
That's a good question. Yeah, let me hit that, because we're talking about the change in Congress, but here's why I think Trump is doing it. He does think it's a get out of the jail free card. I really like I like your quip. He runs for the White House to stay out of the big house. Here's the law on it. Let me just bake into the law and the history of this. First of all, there is no law that says even a sitting president can't be criminally charged. No law. What there is a Justice Department memo that said that as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, because prosecutors can decide when to prosecute and how severely to prosecute, we will not prosecute a sitting president. And that's been a bipartisan thing in this memo for a number of presidencies. Why is that? What you don't want, for instance, is if you have a Republican attorney general and Democratic president, they cook up some fake thing to prosecute them and to try to destabilize the party in the country. You don't want that. I understand that. It should freeze the statute of limitations, though. We say toll the statute of limitations so that they can prosecute him after he gets out of office. Now, there's that. It does not say that you can't prosecute a guy who's running for president, because if it did, what would happen is it wouldn't be just Donald Trump. It'd be Joe Blow, who owns dry cleaners in Cleveland, and they pick him up for child porn, or they pick him up for burglary or something, or cooking his books to the bank. And then he goes, I'm running for president, and he just files and doesn't do anything. And then they're frozen for 4 years. Well, they don't want that. Here you have, so that you can prosecute him. However, what happens when the criminal, Trump, is a former president? And not only a former president, was president through 2020, up until very recently. It's the appearance. I think they think that it gives the appearance of a political power play. In other words, it's the kind of thing you do in Africa, Asia, South America, communist country, jihadist country, kind of thing. Cook up charges, people around the world would think, even though that's false, he actually committed these offenses. So that is why I think that they're reluctant. And the problem is that the district attorney in Atlanta is going to have a big decision to do, and so is the killer other prosecutors around the country. They're doing it because of the appearance. Thanks for calling in. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-789. A lot more back after the break. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my soul.